The new book, Colored Amazons, describes the experience of black women in Philadelphia's criminal justice system in the decades after Reconstruction. Author Colleen Nicole Gross uses prison records, trial transcripts, and new accounts to look at how black female criminals dealt with the racism of that city's courts and prisons. Gross is a history professor and the director of Africana Studies at Drexel University in Philadelphia. She spoke with NPR's Farah Chidea.
Let's talk about some of the women that you explore in your book. Alice Clifton, who was she and what was she charged with?
Alice Clifton was an enslaved black woman in Pennsylvania. She was 17 years old, and she worked as a servant in a household for a white family, the Bartholomews, who were Philadelphia shopkeepers. And in 1787, she was arrested for killing her quote-unquote bastard child. Her crime was infanticide. What happens is, during the delivery, she kept feigning that she was only ill, that she wasn't pregnant. The woman of the house, Mary Bartholomew, would check in on her periodically, but it was in between visits that Alice Clifton actually delivers her daughter. The family comes back to Clifton after the delivery. She's getting up, getting dressed, saying that she feels much better. And they can't figure out what's happened, where this child is. So they search the house and they find the infant's body stuffed in a trunk in one of the family's rooms. So they call the, inquest is done and brought in, and they initially thought that the child had died from suffocation because of the position of the head on the fetus. And it's only, hours afterward that, during the course of the inquest and the inquiry, that they realized that the child's neck had been slashed, that it had a cut some 4 inches long and almost an inch thick. So she goes on trial for murder. And it's interesting because even though Alice Clifton is a enslaved black woman at this point, in the past she would have been subject to the separate Negro courts. But in 1780, Pennsylvania had passed a gradual abolition act. So they actually freed any enslaved blacks born after 1780. But this act of gradual abolition didn't do anything for folks like Alice Clifton, except allow them to be tried in regular courts. They would still remain enslaved, but they would be tried as if they were free, because the 1780 act had also gotten rid of these separate Negro courts.
So it's kind of the worst of both worlds.
It is the worst of both worlds in many respects. And it also, I really chose that case to open up the book with, because I felt like it did its great job of highlighting the sort of confinement and the parameters of black womanhood during this time period. It's almost like you're too high to get over, too low to get under. You're not free, but we will try you as a free person.
So what does this story say to you about the nature of black female criminality at this point during America's evolution, and how does it have relevance now?
Well, one of the things that I argue in the book, and what I think that the case starts to highlight, is that black female crime is constructed jointly by both the perpetrators and the state, right? So that black women are, because of the bias and the bigotry of the period, they're socially, economically, politically disenfranchised in almost every way. So that in order for them to attain even a minimal quality of life, law breaking or doing and acting in ways that are outside of the law are often some of the only avenues that they have to exert any sort of autonomy. But at the same time, it's also in some respects constructed by the state in terms of the way that the laws and the early legislation sort of legally wrought the parameters that left in Alice Clifton no choice for freedom, except, over the corpse of her, her illegitimate child, essentially.
I guess where I would end with this, because your book has so many facets, is you have a whole chapter called Deviant by Design, Race, Degeneracy, and the Science of Penology. Mm-hmm. And you have a quote from a book, The Science of Penology, written in 1893, that says, "The possible criminal must be caught and rendered harmless before he can act. The constant reinforcement and recruiting of the criminal class must be checked at its source." Now, that's kind of an equivalent of preemptive war against mm-hmm. crime. Mm-hmm. What did that do to black women who were arrested, tried, convicted back in the turn of the last century? And what is it doing now?
One of the things that they start to seize upon is this idea of an occasional and a habitual criminal, right? That there are a certain class of criminals who fall into crime for a variety of reasons and that they can be saved and redeemed through, rehabilitation and reintegrate into society. Then there was this idea that there were habitual criminals. These are people who were biologically deficient and prone to criminal activity. And the ways that they defined habitual criminality were along the very sort of biased biological ideas about criminal heredity. So basically, habitual criminals identified those characteristics that were the antithesis of white middle-class hegemony for the time period. So this has huge implications for Black women because it essentially renders them almost criminals on site. It's almost like an early form of racial profiling. But I think for Black women today, there still is a type of profile or a hopelessness about what can be done with folks once they have committed crimes, that we don't view these people as folks who have made a mistake and can be helped and can be brought back into the fold.
Professor Gross, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Colleen Nicole Gross speaking with NPR's Farai today about Gross's new book, Colored Amazons, Crime, Violence, and Black Women in the City of Brotherly Love, 1880 to 1910. Gross is a history professor and the director of Africana Studies at Drexel University in Philadelphia.